The Spiritual Wellness Center, our goal is to provide you with peace of spiritual mind, hope, and reassurance within your own space. At the Spiritual Wellness Center, we believe your life is a fingerprint unique and unlike anyone else, so we can customize a path to fit your needs and budget. We will help you to reach your highest levels in love, family, career, and happiness. We will reduce stress and anxiety and boost your immunity, sleep better, think clearer, and understand your partner better. Call Maria at 813-485-3656. That's 813-485-3656. With a clear mind, you will make better life choices. 813-485-3656. Also, Instagram at Virtual Healing Center. Give Maria a call today.
All of us here at the BCC Coupon Book want to let our friends in the Northern Pinellas, Palm Harbor, and Oldsmar areas know about the all-new Nesting Grounds Cafe. Located on the southeast corner of East Lake Road and Ridgemore Boulevard, right between the Shell Station and Chase Bank, open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Nesting Grounds Cafe serves breakfast and lunch from Eggs Benedict, pancakes, and the Create Your Own Omelette, to sandwiches, wraps, burgers, and salads, and so much more. Come and check out the Nesting Ground Cafe, 4852 Ridgemore Boulevard in Palm Harbor, 727-559-1574. Breakfast and lunch 7 days a week at the Nesting Grounds Cafe, 4852 Ridgemore Boulevard in the southeast corner of East Lake Road and Ridgemore Boulevard. 727-559-1574. And don't forget about the valuable coupon in the BCC Coupon Book. The Nesting Grounds Cafe. Check it out today.
Time for the Brian Cash Clause Show. Now, here he is, the host with the most, Mr. Brian Cash Clause.
Hey, Tom, why do I like the sound of that? You want to sit here, somebody? Anthony. Yeah. So, anyhow, we're a very organized show here. Wouldn't you say that, Adam?
Very organized.
Very organized. It's a storybook. You know what they're supposed to do, right? When you do a show, we used to do this. It was called a storyline, right? And every show had a storyline. You know, like in a radio commercial, I'll give you an example. It's supposed to be the problem, right? That's how you start off a commercial with 10 seconds. Then 10 seconds is put on the features or benefits of why that, of the product that you sell makes it so the person solves the problem. And then the next 10 seconds is supposed to be a happy customer, like with joy, you know. And I watch for commercials to see if they do it that way. And if you watch, like the Wawa commercial, oh, we're hungry, you're hungry. Then they show the food, the feature and benefits. And do you know how they end it? With the meat and the hamburger, right? Or whatever they send. So that's the proper way to do it. Well, we used to do it this way here at the radio show. We had a storyline. And we had it like every like minute was covered in a storyline. And
so
we
what
happened? The person that did it is no longer with me. So now we have the Wing It Show.
The Wing It Show.
But it's not boring.
No, my first 10 years, everything worth, thank you. But my first 10 years, I did everything on a storyline. I was very organized. And then it's like you ever see the business where the light goes out, like when they do the grand opening, but then like 10 years later, the light goes out in one of their letters and they leave it out?
Yeah.
Is that good too?
That's how I feel my wife is. The letters left out.
But you know what they call that? If anybody, hey, who wants to make $50? Chuck?
Sure.
Matt?
Sure.
Who doesn't
Adam?
Like that?
Anthony. Oh, Gary's on the line. Good. So Gary's a. Gary, I'll get right to you. Gary, you can make the $50 too, okay?
All right.
It's a gift card, by the way.
And you get it next year. I never said when. I had somebody say that to me when they did an ad. I kid you not. And I said, I've never had that said. I know, I keep, see how I go off channel here? I'm supposed to be talking to you guys. I'm just going to go another 2 minutes. Believe that. Anyhow. So what happens when you see a billboard upside down, purposely done? What is that called?
Positioning.
Attention getter.
I've heard of different theories on that. I'm not sure I'm buyer on it. Some people are like, well, because you can't process it as quickly, so it's supposed to grab your eye because you see something wrong, then you try to figure out what's the problem here, and doing so, you see the ad.
Right.
The other side is, the ad is, these guys are goofballs that can't figure out what way's up.
That's it.
You know, so.
Right. They say if you give a good presentation, yeah. Right, like in the sales, if you're in the sales world, by giving a good presentation and being a professional presentation, that there's a better chance you'll have a good product, too.
Yes.
Not that you necessarily will, but how you present yourself also tells you what product you're going to present. What it's called is neuronous advertising.
Neuronous.
Neuronous is the word. It is when you purposely make a mistake.
That's so a big word.
So you know where I found that out? I made a mistake in an ad. So this client, instead of yelling at me like most people would do, right? He goes, this is great. And I'm just like, okay, why is it great? He goes, it's called erroneous advertising, where you purposely make a mistake.
Is it erroneous or erroneous?
I don't know.
I think it's erroneous.
Okay, I don't know. I just remember erroneous. I don't remember the first one. So I went with it. Can anybody figure that out, Tom? Is it erroneous or neuronious? I really do only remember erroneous.
I think it's erroneous.
Anyhow.
Erroneous.
Erroneous. There you go. See?
Do I get the $50?
No, because you didn't get it. So I'm arguing with this guy because I used to do this radio show too, and I'm going to get off me. I got to get off me. I know that because I have people email me, you talk too much. So I'm arguing with this guy that had a TV show and a radio show. So he's asking me questions, and I was going on like once a week. And this was more into politics. And he hangs up on me. I guess something happened in 1954 in some type of war. It was Korea. So
small
he said,
one.
This is a small conflict. One. And it was about the 38th parallel, right? Where we would go, because we wouldn't go past that, or we'd go to World War III with China. So he asked me a question that was supposed to be a simple answer, and I didn't know it. And he goes, I'm fine. I'm done with you. He says this on the air. You're stupid. I'm done with you. You don't even know that. And he hangs up on me. That was the last time I was on that show.
Well.
So anyhow, sometimes, was that erroneous? That I did that purposely?
Well, we don't know, do we? Only you know.
Only I know. The question, I forget even the question, but it was some battle that happened in Korea, and I was supposed to be this Korean expert.
According to him, I guess it's more
erroneous.
Right?
So I studied up on Korea, you know, the war, for like 2 weeks. And when I didn't know the answer, I guess I wasn't the Korean expert. Should I be saying that on the air?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't live that.
I won't hold it against you.
So he hangs up on me. I was the expert on everything, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, let's talk about Matt's Pizza. Tell us, how five-star pizza? What's the deal?
Well, we started off in the 80s, believe it or not, in Gainesville, Florida. We're a young group. Guys that knew how to make great pizza. We knew a little bit about marketing and didn't really run the business side very professionally, to be honest with you. We were just young kids having fun, you know. And you give a 21-year-old a business that probably do the things that matter. Take care of customer, market, and everything else. Who cares? Paperwork goes in that cardboard box in the corner, you know?
No, I get
and
it.
And then as we grew the business thing, started doing things more professionally and what have you. But we grew the business to be kind of a monster in itself. That town, we own a 60% market share.
Unbelievable.
So, and that's just a testament to not just the marketing, but a product or service that we've done through consistently since the 80s. I sold that location in 2012. That was the last time it was open 24/7. But up until then, from 95 till 2012, it was a 24/7 location that our top pizza hours of like 450 pizzas an hour. My top day, 3,500 in one day.
Wow.
making all the sauce in-house, cheese in-house, dough in-house, just doing everything the old school way. Then all the big names, they bring everything on truck. It's frozen product. They have no controls. If you're dealing with products that people don't realize, commodities, your cheese comes from, starts off at a cow that's eating grass that got too much water this month. So the cheese is going to be a little wet. That's the end result. So you got to change how you do your blend. The big players don't know that. This is things that old school guys knew this, but it's kind of gotten lost in the trades that we still do. Same thing with the sauce. Every year around this time of year, it's getting close to picking season over California in San Joaquin Valley. And we go to the fields. We see our tomatoes when they're getting picked. I tell you, they go from tomato to can in 1 hour. The can plant is actually in the field.
That's what makes a big difference.
What they call a fresh pack product. Most people don't use that. It's a little more expensive. They don't cook it as quite as much, so it kind of preserves that flavor. So we go the extra mile to find places like Stanislaus that does it right.
Wow. You know, I say when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Right?
440 hours last week.
I know. But I try to, I see people, you know what words you look for? Like, you look for the word have to, right? I have to do this.
Yeah.
Right? When you have an employee say that to you, or the word can't, right? I can't do this. Well, no, you can, but you won't, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, I have to make the sauce. I'm not saying
yeah.
all the time, right? Of course, right? Because yeah. you could say that just, but like, if I asked you, did you enjoy going to California, seeing the cans, you would probably yeah. say, yeah, I really enjoyed it. There he is. Can I tell the story?
Sure.
Just real quick. There was this homeless guy, and it almost makes me want to cry. But I'm a man, so I'm a soldier. I won't do it. So it's two stories with Anthony, and I haven't seen him since, by the way. We haven't seen him since. That's a couple months
and
ago.
And Sharon Vecchione.
Sharon.
Yep.
Right, she's supposed to be here. Can I just tell this story? Mm-hmm. So Sharon has three bags of clothes, right, that she's bringing to the Salvation Army. And nicely, is it wrong for me to say homeless? Can I just say person? But just to
person.
Get
the, just say person.
Person. Comes by and has all rips in his pants and stuff. And like you could just see, right? You know when you see a homeless person, right? I didn't say person. I'm going right back to it. But you know when you
no,
do.
No, they're not homeless. They live in a cardboard box, so they're not homeless.
That's it. And, you know, but for God's grace, there go I. And the only time you look down on someone is when you're looking to pick them up. I really mean that. I really, in my heart, mean that. We're all servants to God. Me and Chuck, we're talking about that, if Chuck don't mind me divulging that. Because he says, I serve. And I just hung up the phone from him, and I meditated on what you said to me. It really touched my heart. But we serve, right? So if we serve, we're servants. This is the lowest person in the household. It's the servant, right? So that means we're all equal. No one's better than the next guy. So I want to say that with me saying homeless.
Yep.
So this is really spiritual, what happened here. So she... So it was, the memorandum was cold and all that. So she goes, one pair of pants fell out of the bag I was bringing to the Salvation Army. I look in my back seat. Listen to this, Chuck. You listening? So one pair of pants fell out, right? So she's like, oh, I don't know. She goes, what's your waist? He goes, 33-30. She goes, I dropped everything off at the Salvation Army, and I just don't know why this one pair of pants didn't go in the bag. Let me see what size it is, right? Here, the guy has no clothes. I mean, really bad off, right? She comes inside, and guess what? The sizes.
No kid.
You're supposed to give an answer.
33-30.
Play along. It's in the script.
I was going to say, 40 ways.
Right. 40 ways to throw back at you.
So you know what? So Sharon starts to cry, right? And then you ever see someone else cry that you start to cry?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I start to cry a little bit, but I hide mine because, you know, yes.
Oh, nothing. I just want to do a shout out to our bank.
PNC?
Yes, because they're listening right now at the Countryside Branch. I want to say hi to Rose. She is awesome. And Aaron. Hi,
right.
guys. Shout out to PNC Bank at Countryside Branch.
So it really, they knew it was Rose. I mean, no, I can't even say the story now. But there's somebody there at the bank that we love that helps us a lot. So I just took it for granted all the bankers do that all over the county, right? They don't. Right? No. Right? There's one lady, I can't say her because I don't know if she's allowed to do it. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But she just goes the extra mile for customer service.
It's nice when you see that. It's a shame you don't see more of that. This generation is really tough. We're just not instilling the values as we raise the kids. And the one thing I did write my son's been welding now for 6 months. He's already the supervisor of the plant.
Wow.
Awesome.
And the only thing I credit that to is the one thing that I hammered into the kid was work ethic.
I know that.
You have nothing else. You have no education, nothing else in life. If you can outwork everybody around you, you will be successful in this country.
And give value, too, though.
Yeah.
The more value you give, the more money you actually make.
Yeah.
Right? So then I wanted to just real quick, and then just... Okay. Then Anthony goes out, right? Remember that when it was really cold, like for like 5 or 6 days? And I'm going to tell you, I think the value of the jacket was $200. I mean, because it was one of those really... custom jackets, right? And right, it was really a nice, you just knew that this jacket had value to it because it had embroidery mm-hmm. on it. It was leather. It had the, you, guess what he does? Because if you look at the size of this guy, you're going to see that he gives it to him. So like 3 weeks later, I see him, he still has the jacket on. And he goes, it was the coldest night, the night he gave him the jacket, right?
It was freezing.
It was freezing that night. And like I see him, like I'm, I just say hello, and so that's a cool little neat story there, isn't it? Like,
it is.
We learn to keep it; you got to give it away. You know, I really believe if you stop trying to get what you want, and you start helping people get what they want, the paradox is you will get what you want because there's a lot of power to that.
Yep.
It could be. It sound like a. It's a philosophy of life, not just a tactic. When you really do that, I'll give you an example is, I'm going to shut up. I got to get out of here. I'm talking too much. This is not what the whole idea of the radio show is. But I bought 2 Whoppers last night and gave them away. And then I get home and I'm hungry. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was upset with myself for a little bit.
You want the Whopper.
No, really.
I'm hungry.
Because here I give 1 Whopper away, and then I look at the other guy, and I'm saying, please say no. I said, would you like a Whopper? Say no. And you know what? The guy looks up at me, and he was in front of the 7-Eleven. He goes, I would love a Whopper. And I said, and I gave it to him. So I got to say, I don't always do it with kindness and a good heart.
These things are designed by millennials. Mm-hmm. Every few minutes is telling you to stop and breathe. Who would design something that says you need to stop being productive? Millennials.
Okay, we're going to be doing a who knows? I mean, natural. I don't know. And I bet you that's a really expensive watch, too. How much is it?
I think it's
$600. $600 for a watch.
Wow.
So anyhow, I got my daughter a watch, and then it was not nearly like that. I got to get her one. I'm looking to go on Letgo. You ever hear of Letgo?
No.
They look like you buy that watch for $600, and then now you're in trouble. And I know you, again, that's not good.
You can sell it for $400 or something.
Or $200.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the shout-out you want to do?
Oh, I just wanted to shout-out PNC Bank because they help us so much. They're awesome. They are very, very responsible, and I want to say hi to Rose. And Chuck at the Countryside Branch, who are listening right now, and Stephanie at the Gulf to Bay Branch, and Heather at the Rosary Branch.
Do you know what happened at the party, the Christmas party, 2 years ago? Guess who won the grand prize?
It was you, right?
Yeah, right. They're on the line, yeah.
Well, you're always winning something somewhere. So
right.
I was trying to
so then we're at this networking group thing. Guess who won the... I kid you not. This is such a true story. We're at a networking group thing, and the grand prize is this big carrot cake. Phil is from the Palm Harbor Chamber. Yeah. It was like a $200 cake. And this is... And people kept trying to trade with me for it. Guess who won that?
You did.
Out of like 500 people that put things in. Me.
Okay.
And then I'm with our friend Mike. I'm at the Dunning and Chamber thing, right?
Yeah.
It was the big drawing, right? And... I won that one too.
Awesome.
That's all in the last 2 years.
A big basket of wine and a picnic basket and all of that.
Okay,
stuff.
Great. Okay, so now Chuck, I want you to sit here, and I'm not going to interview no one because I've talked too much. And then we're going to be doing, where's the gift? What is it? Well, show them.
There it is. Give it. This camera, right over there?
Yeah, what is that? What is the gift?
Three guesses.
You can win $50.
I'll give it to you. It's glass.
Oh, wow. It's glass. I don't know.
You got online. Is it part of one of the waterfall thing, display things?
Anyhow, we do this. Adam has name. Tell us the name of your shop.
Oh, okay.
Hi, it's Red Rooster Antiques at 305-30113 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater. And it's a great antique shop. So every week I've been bringing in these things, and you have to try to stump the panel here. I've done pretty good.
Yes.
But you guys are pretty smart, though. You usually get it.
Is that a medicine dispenser?
You got three options. I'm going to give you three guesses. One, it's for a milk, a creamer. Two, it's for children to have camphor. They used to put it to their mouths, the Camp Vicks rub.
Okay.
And three, it's for holding orchids.
Does it stand up?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
So one, it's for orchids. Two, it's a creamer. And three, it's for holding mentholated, like Vicks vapor rub, and you'd hold it to the kid's mouth. It is Victorian.
I'm going to go with the creamer for Pete's coffee.
Okay.
What are you going with, Chuck?
Orchid.
Orchids. You know, I always go with what I think it's not, and it tends to be right. Isn't that crazy? The only reason I wouldn't think orchids is because it wouldn't hold it up. It's not stable.
Well, it's for starting them off, you know?
Oh, I don't know. So, anyhow, what do you say, Anthony?
I'm just going to be different. Vicks vapor up.
All right. Like put it for the kids, you know, like not kill them, but, you know.
What are you going to say, Matt G.?
This is Mary up in D.C. I got a couple jokes for us, and I got a couple ladies. Who are
well, we're doing this right now. Here. Okay, we'll do that later. But what do you, A, B, or C, or D, or whatever?
Let's see.
See? Okay. Gary, what do you say?
I think it's for the vapor rub.
Oh, wow.
What did he say?
Vapor rub.
That's what I would
okay,
say.
You want the reveal?
No, not yet. I'm going to say orchids because I'm going with my friend Chuck.
All right, here's the reveal. Da, 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 da.
Kramer.
It's a Kramer.
Oh.
What'd you say?
That's a nice one.
You were right.
Too. Look at
You're
that.
Absolutely
that
right. Look at that.
You're my first flyer.
Right there.
You're the first flyer, Matt. And the first time you're on the show, you just won $50.
And that's from like 1860.
Huh?
French. 1860.
Wow.
So I have some jewelry from that area, first and second Victorian. And it's funny how back then the craftsmanship with all the metalwork was somewhere.
Yeah, this wasn't meant. This wasn't sold to Woolworths. This was like for the well-to-do, you know.
What's the value of that?
$195.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. Pretty.
But I'm trying to, you know, every week I'm trying to think about what am I going to do to stump them, you know. And it's getting tough.
That's
all right, Chuck, you ready to sit here and take control?
I think so. Yeah.
And then Anthony can help do the interview, you and Chuck, and talk to Matt. Next time, maybe you can bring a pizza. We can eat it on air.
Bring Brian Piezilla.
Yeah, we're not even going to say who brought this one, okay?
So where do we find your pizza restaurant at?
It's down on just south of here on Myrtle and Jeffers. If you know where Myrtle at, mm-hmm. and Gulf to Bay, go south on Myrtle, down to Jeffers, about two red lights down there, three. Yep. Yeah, it goes south on Jeffers to Myrtle to Jeffers right there. It's a couple red lights south of Gulf to Bay.
We have a phone number for you guys?
Yep, 727-250-0505. But nowadays we're in the internet age. Everybody's looking online, going to websites. We got a website, 5starpizza.com.
Go and they order online?
Absolutely. We actually like it because nowadays people ask a lot of questions when they're taking the orders, and we love it when they do it online. They can spend 20 minutes figuring out what they want,
mm-hmm.
and it pops up.
Yeah.
You know? And you, I heard you earlier saying you are takeout and delivery?
Takeout delivery.
Your own delivery or Uber?
Yep. Well, we do our own drivers. We do the third-party services. I'm not a huge fan of them. I'll tell you, on average, we get the pizza out of our oven, on average, 9 minutes after you place an order.
Wow.
Uber and shows up usually within 30 minutes. DoorDash shows up within 2 hours. Grubhub usually within an hour and a half. So if you want a decent meal, I would never, ever order through a third party. And they're charging all these fees. And the problem, reason why we're probably going to kick them to the curb shortly is we did it just to get exposure into the market.
Of course.
Just using market meaning, that's all it was for us. But the clientele doesn't realize when you go through Uber, you're doing business with Uber. You're not doing business with Five Star Pizza. Yeah. You're buying pizza from Uber that happens to buy it from me.
Well, they buy it.
So when the customer calls up and says, I don't like the price. That's not my price. It took 2 hours to get here. I didn't deliver it. So now we're having bad feedback from a business that we're not in control of. So that's for us, it's probably not going to work out long term.
Do you do subs as well? Any specialty subs or just pizza?
Part of our deal is we want to keep everything as streamlined as possible. When we start off, we only sold large pizza, but some people really admit they need a smaller pizza. I'm not going to say it's people in offices, but people in offices. Mm-hmm. So we're like, we have to have a small pizza. All right, we'll carry a 12-inch. 20 cent less than a large. So if you absolutely want it, we'll make it. But
I have a question for you. Now, when you have the dough and you're making a small one or a large one, are you using the same amount of dough?
No.
You're not?
No, we use a 14 ounce for the small, and we're using 24 ounce for a large.
True enough.
Yeah, no. So that's how we start off. We sold two sizes of pizza and three cans of soda, nothing else. And we were fast. And we didn't mess up many orders. You know, then eventually we came along, we added 2 liters, and then cheesy sticks, and then garlic rolls, then pepperoni rolls. Now we're selling wings. We've got chicken tender bites, cinnamon rolls. And now we run ovens. Every once in a while, a driver will forget a piece or something gets misloaded because you've got so many different odd items that it just complicates the system a little bit. I'm not a big fan of that. So we try to keep it really simple. And compared to most menus, we are simple. Compared to where I came from, though, I think it's crazy complicated because it's more than just one thing. You know.
And once again, where can we find you and how do we get in touch with you?
We're on Jeffords and Myrtle. And that's where our location at, but we really do delivery. We want you to call us on our phone number, 727-250-0505, or go to the website, it's the easiest, fivestarpizza.com. Find us on there and place your order.
That's a good number, because if you want to know how to memorize it, 250, switch 50 around, right, 0505.
It's all fucked.
And then just think, if you're a criminal, 50.
Hawaiian pizza.
Hawaiian pizza is not pizza.
What other 50?
You know, actually, funny, because kind of going to the Uber and what you're talking about with the homeless trying to do things and what have you. So every night, when it gets close to 3 a.m., we're open at 3 a.m. We're the late night guys.
Gotcha.
But around 2 a.m., the Uber drivers and everybody, they run out of steam and they start signing off. So Uber can't find a driver to deliver your food. And the customer realizes, looks online, Uber's telling it's going to be 2.5 hours. They cancel the order. So we get these pieces we made and it's canceled. So we have nothing to do with them. I have this Piezoa Deluxe and 20 wings and a large cheese and 2 orders of garlic rolls. That's 3:30 in the morning. I'm driving home. So I said, you know what? On my way home, I usually find someone at bus stop, someone from the mobile that's wandering around. So I had this monster 2-foot pizza. And I asked the guys, like, hey, you want a free pizza? And he's what? It's like, look, Uber canceled order. I got free pizza. If you have some people you can want, he's like, yeah, absolutely. And it's like, open the truck, I bring this monster pizza out, and this guy's jaw dropped. It was so, I wish I had a camera there. Are you sure? Yeah. This is the best day of my life. You know, he takes a pizza, a whole stack of food. And
nice.
You know what? Doesn't that sound like a good TV commercial? Seriously. He just told me, I heard TV commercial. And then the guy calls, and then he just like so happy at the end. But anyhow, can you do me a favor? Gary.
Yeah.
Tell Matt what you do, and then also what I'd like to do is, can you interview or someone interview my friend Chuck here?
Sure.
And then let's get that going that way. But Gary, tell him what you do.
Okay, so Matt, do you know anything about me?
Nope, never met you.
Okay, fine.
First.
So what I do is I work with youth groups all over Pinellas County, and one of the big ones is Boy Scouts of America.
Okay.
And what I do is I do fundraising for them so that we can support kids who can't afford it.
Okay. Okay.
And we do it all over the county. We have 1,700 kids and 800 adult leaders under us, right? And so we make sure those kids are taken care of.
Wow.
And so we do fundraisers. Like I'm doing a fundraiser with Brian on the 6th of May in the Dunedin Country Club.
Okay.
And we're showing a little film, right? And then I've got a law enforcement professional that's going to tell us what it means to go into a house and handle a domestic dispute and be able to give the kids something. Because I've got over 100 teddy bears that I'm donating to the sheriff. And they're going to go in with these teddy bears and give them to the kids. So they have something to hang on to while mom and dad are busy duking it out.
Yeah. No, that's a big deal.
So just to get people some reality on what it's like for a young kid, right, and show some compassion and help them. And then later on, we'll get them into our program, and they actually learn how to be leaders, how to tell the truth, you know, that's more important than anything else.
Yep.
And what trust means. And the way we do that is they all cycle through all positions, all leadership positions. One day they're the patrol leader. Next day they're the guy taking out the garbage. So on. Until they get everything, they've done everything in there. And that's what makes a leader.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I've mentored a lot of people through the years that were start off as just, you know, bumble ranks and said, look, you got intelligence, you have energy, you just got to put more into what you're doing every day and you can get ahead. And as you're mentoring guys, you start hearing stories. And one of the guys was in a pretty bad situation growing up and constantly being removed from the house by the authorities, whatever. And the worst thing he hated about it was the fact that when they're yanked out, they're given a trash bag. Here, everything you can fit into a trash bag is what you bring with them. Wow. You get a suitcase, they don't get it. Just, so now he has this thing where he hates trash bags because he associates that with you're about to live. But also, you know, he's like, you know, how demeaning is you're leaving and all you're going to another foster home and all your stuff's in a trash bag. Like, that's, it's just it's one of those things that doesn't get talked about. But you really think, how hard would it be for us to figure out a solution for that? Like, if we're going to be ripping a kid out of a house, maybe we should bring a suitcase, you know?
Right.
You know?
It's like minor stuff, but it's big, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know what the teddy bear
really touches my heart. I almost got a backpack. You know, I'm wanting to not even say nothing because it's sad. But you know what? A lot of kids, that the harder you grow up sometimes, like if you look at boxers, you never see a heavyweight boxer that had an easy life. Right, if you ever look back on the history of boxing or anything like that, there are certain industries you just got to come out fighting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the conditions, like if you look at the example I would use is Cuba. They sent people over, right, can't speak English and all that, and the conditions were bad, right? But yet some of those guys had the same condition and became millionaires.
Actually, it's funny because
Not the condition. It's,
I think statistically, 75% of the people come to this country retire in success. Our kids, 25%, I think, is the number that retire in success.
Look what they're doing.
It just shows that when you're taught that you have to earn it to survive, you don't lose that as an adult. And when people come to this country, they had to earn it to survive in other countries. When they come here, they take advantage of. If you bust your butt, you get ahead here. I mean, all the problems we're having politically in this country, still the roots are if you bust your butt in this country, you care, you do the job right, you will get ahead.
And if you bust your butt, you get to go to my man's country club over here.
Oh,
which
what
has
a
been
segment.
Around
oh,
for.
There you go.
They used to be on the PGA Tour. It's a great place.
Just real quick. Lasagna, you're going to be there.
Yeah, Matt, did you want to tell a few jokes and then let's go to Chuck?
Yes. So I have a few ladies with me as well that are going to help tell me the jokes. And we're all going to shout out one charitable organization. I'm going to give a shout out to the Shriners Hospital, who helps children in need with important surgeries and really outreaches out to their families. And I have some personal family experience with that, with the help to my brother Jesse Taggart. Shout out. Love you, bro. All right. I'm going to do two jokes. What did the left eye say to the right eye?
Are you staring at me?
That's a good one. Between us, something smells.
That's a good right. one.
I like that.
All right. I got another one. Want to hear a free roof joke?
Sure.
The first one's on the house. Okay, hey. I'm going to pass you over to Colston. She's going to give a shout out to a charity of her choice and then read you two jokes.
Okay, all what right. do we got?
Hey, this is Colston. I just want to shout out to Unity Club in Falls Church, Virginia. Oh, unityclub.com to visit our website.
Awesome.
All right. What did the fisherman say to the magician?
You got me.
Take a cod, any cod. All right. And how do you look for Will Smith in the snow? I promise it's not offensive.
I'm nervous. I'm not answering that one.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. You know, I'm out.
Fresh Prince.
Pardon?
Look for the Fresh Prince.
That's a good one.
That was a good one. Awesome. So, Chuck, tell us a little about Dunedin Country Club and what you do over there.
All right. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here. I was here about maybe 5-6 weeks ago for the first time, and it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you, Matt, for all your information on your pizza place. I will have to say this. I live in Bel Air, and one day I was going to work, and there was two people canvassing the neighborhoods with your door knockers.
Yep. No, so. I do things old school. We go out there, and I earn this knee brace properly.
Yeah, so I will be definitely ordering some pizza. That's for awesome. Sure. So thank you so much for your time here. I'm the general manager of the Dunedin Golf Club. I've been there at the club since February or August of 2017. Came in as a food and beverage director, and then in November of this last year, I was promoted to general manager. But it's a semi-private club. We are owned by the city of Dunedin. We have an operating board that operates the club, and they hire professionals to maintain the golf course, which is James Kelly's, our greens golf superintendent. John Falcone is our director of golf, who's been there 23 years, and of course myself. We do have a full staff of around 45 employees that work in all the departments, but we specialize in taking care of people. The restaurant is open to the public. We serve lunch every day, 11 to 5, Tuesday through Sunday. Evening, we serve dinner from 5 to 8:30, and then on Saturdays, we serve breakfast from 9 to 1, and Sundays 9 to 1, and then lunch menu from 11 till 6:30. But we are a definite community operation in that we have a lot of events for the community. In fact, just this past Saturday, we had a casino night for Eckerd Connects, and they raised a tremendous amount of money. Again, last year they came here just before COVID and indicated to me they raised the most money they've ever raised in the history of their organization.
Fantastic.
So they came back again this year, and they beat last year's amount. So it's good for us, good exposure. We do a lot of special events in relationship to families, wedding receptions, class reunions, rehearsal dinners, celebrations of life, 50th wedding anniversaries, baby showers, bridal showers. So we have the full gamut of full service club with a kitchen. Chef Adrian Morris has been there 14 years as our chef. We do menu changes every season. We're getting ready to do a summer menu coming up. So it's a great club, good food. We're known for our fish fry on Friday. We've had that program for forever, it seems like. And it's a big bringer-inner, as I call it. And in fact, it's so busy, we've had to limit the reservations only on Friday nights. So we have some control over the service of the guests and the members. And then the other thing that's a lot of us are in the industry, hospitality industry, are experiencing, I'm just going to do a shout out to people who need work. We had 20 people we were trying to hire in the last 6 weeks for servers and bartenders. I called him in, and only one person showed up for the interview.
Oh, wow.
We're definitely short-staffed. We could use a couple more servers and bartenders. And it's a great job. You get to work for me. I always say I'm the best boss you'll ever work for, and I try to prove that every day. So it's a great club. We have an event coming up that Brian Cash and his group of people have put together here at the club, and it's a networking event. So I certainly want to encourage everybody to participate in that. It's a great opportunity to, one, see the club, have a nice dinner. That's going to be a buffet dinner, Italian-style dinner. And we have a putting contest, and it's going to be a great, great fun.
Awesome. Great. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, you spoke about the pandemic problem we're having with hiring people. All the stimulus money's got everybody not wanting to work, and we're having the same thing. I've had, I think, somewhere around 80 digital apps, and not one came in for an interview out of 80.
Wow.
And, you know, it's funny. We are staffed. We have people, but everybody we've gotten, and I know this is social media, everybody's on computers, but all of my hires came from the old school way of going out, meet someone, shaking hands, talk to them, and come work. That guy hired now, who do you know, who's your friend? Mm-hmm. Get them, bring in people they know. And this is the way since the 50s we've hired.
That's great.
So that's what's working.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, you guys start thinking, you know, we have all this digital stuff, but maybe that's just not the way to go on some aspects. And I think hiring is one of those that is just not going to be
the way. You have to respect when a guy comes in your door and has his app and he's dressed mm-hmm. right and he comes
yeah.
in.
Look,
yeah. I'll sit down and talk to you anytime. You come walk into my office, you know, yeah. coming in and like that, I respect it all day.
You know, it's funny because I had a phone call yesterday. A guy actually responded to when the email kind of shot me. He called me and he's like, yeah. So we were talking about coming in yesterday at 1:00. He's like, all right, so I start. Oh, come in for the interview. Oh, I don't start. No, we'll sit down, talk about your availability, make sure it's going to work out. And I was like, I don't think he's going to show up. And of course he didn't. The idea that he has to come in for an interview, get hired, was blowing his mind. I was like,
wow.
That's what we're at. Crazy. Now, you spoke of something about your country club, though. You're mm-hmm. open to the public for
correct.
Dining.
Correct.
See, that's pretty unique because usually, if you're not a club member, you're not going to be able to sit down and eat.
Right,
that's
yeah. We're designated.
The Heisman at the front door.
As a semi-private club. The city came in numerous years ago, probably I think 25 years ago, take over the golf course facility, and then about 7-8 years ago they took over the clubhouse operations for sure.
Okay.
And so it's a unique business wheel within a wheel, but you know, because that numbers are fresh in my mind, but we definitely are a community operation. The last full year, 2020 was a pandemic year. We were open the full time all the way through. We complied with all the local, state, and federal guidelines for serving food and beverage. But last year, we sold in total gross revenues $750,000 in food.
Wow! Nice.
And that's great. The year before that, we sold $1.2 million in food and in beverage. So,
wow.
In each of those instances,
that's a hard growth.
Yeah, and each of those instances, the contribution from the community was upwards to about 70% of that revenue was contributed by the outside people,
wow.
not the members. Members support the club, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the community looks at the club as a place to go. And particularly old school, I'm in my mid-60s, but I have numerous ladies that come in and say, we like that you have linen.
yeah.
They get tired of going to the places that just have a placemat or nothing at all, just a napkin or a paper napkin. So we have real linen napkins and real linen on the table.
What are you supposed to be
you
doing?
Know, so you can feel special. And we try to make everybody feel special.
And they have an amazing golf course.
Yes, the golf is pristine. Donald Ross design, 1927. Great course, very challenging, but yet, as I've been told, you use every club in your bag, you know, it challenges you. And like I said, John Falcone's been there 23 years, lessons for John and Dave Williams, the assistant pro. They do a great job. We have junior clinics in the summertime for kids.
Does he teach
in.
The happy slap shot?
He can. he'll teach you to the point where you'll get better at your game. And that's what you really want. We want to get better at your game. Just like in life, we want to be better in life. So yep. he wants to make you better in your game. So you enjoy it more. You know, Tony asked me earlier, said, have you played the course yet? I said, no, I haven't played the course yet. And it's been I've been that busy. So I hope to get out on the course sometime, probably this summer, when it's less busy, allegedly.
You know, it's funny. I had girlfriends that lived on golf courses years ago, and we could do charity events every once in a while. And I know how to swing a club. I know the technique you're supposed to use, but I always do a hard slice. One year, we're doing a charity event. I got my left arm had cast. I got a plate in my left arm. I had bone surgery. And I'm like, you know, we're just going to drink beer, have fun. We're doing a team event, so it didn't matter. Everybody whack a ball, and we'll pick someone's ball. So I just have no
scramble,
care.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing a one-arm swing. It was the best day of golf I've ever played. I mean, every ball I hit went straight as an arrow. I was missing an arm.
That's great.
Went straight as an arrow. I was like, all right, so honestly, I need to put this arm behind my back in the future.
So can you guys interview my friend here, Adam?
Okay.
Absolutely.
All so right. You both do it. Let's see. We're going to rate you guys. Who's the best interviewer? Okay.
Do handicaps.
Okay, so my name is Adam Resendiz. I own Red Rooster Antiques. We're in Clearwater, right on 19. We've been open since January. I've been doing it much longer. We're in another location, but we just opened up January the 1st, and it's been going really well. We have like two larger shops and then another one, our annex, all in the same strip mall.
Now, when you say you're off 19, you're on real 19?
Real 19. Right. Yeah, we're right across the street from the Home Depot and right next to Dan's Fans.
Okay, what crossroad is that?
Curlew, right there, just before you get to Curlew on 19.
Okay.
If you're heading north. Okay. And we're on the right-hand side, and we've been doing really good, you know, really well, and I'm kind of jazzed about it. And it's myself, my partner, CJ, and we have a guy there, Austin. He's 21 years old, and he repairs Victrolas, tube radios. He can do old TVs, music boxes, clocks. He's amazing.
Wow.
And he's only 21 years old, but he's like, he knows all this, and he's fantastic at it. So we have that people coming in to get repairs, and then also, you know, the antiques.
You know, I have a buddy that does those. I've dabbled in messing with those. If you understand how real electrical diagram and how electronics operate and what the electronic components work and interact with each other, it's not hard. You can reflow boards. You can replace this. The older stuff also, they love it. Use vacuum tubes.
Yeah, see.
It just, as long as you can get the vacuum tube. Like, I gave buddy Dan Texas, I gave him, I think, 100 vacuum tubes I found in my storage unit, and it was like Christmas for him. Like, you realize this is a $200 bag. It's like, man, I'm never going to use
that. That's exactly what he really likes doing the tube radios and all that. Yeah. Like, you know, he's amazing. He'll say, oh, that's a 1928 Lyric, and it's like, you know, and I'm an antique dealer, and he's only 21 years old. He's going to be 22 soon.
That's great.
You know, it's amazing. And we have people coming in all the time, you know. And because Clearwater, you know, I mean, the general population is older, so there's, you know, there's a lot of people coming in and bringing stuff in, so there's always new inventory. We never know what's going to come through the door. And, you know, we're selling, too, so it's been really good. And, you know, because of all what's been going on, you never know what's going to happen. But we're jazzed because I was a little anxious, you know, opening up a business at this time, you know, like changing locations, but it's been fantastic.
Do you do appraisals?
We do appraisals. What I do is basically I charge $75 an hour, you know, and I will appraise things. What I do is I give the person a paper and pad and I say, this is what I would sell it for if I owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somebody wants a written appraisal, then, well, that's more money, you know, and, you know, that's more time and effort. But, I mean, a lot of people have really valuable items in their house, and they have no idea what they're worth. Sometimes it's, you know, they think this item is worth a lot of money, and it's not. But that item in the corner is worth $10,000, and they have no idea whatsoever.
You know, it's funny because I used to have this silver that was made in New York. It had the stamp, the date, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
It was made. It was real silverware.
Yeah.
And I just had it because I thought it was neat, and I kept it around. But I knew it was real value because it was actual silver, and the price caught up. My wife got tired. She goes, I tossed the silver. I was like, what do you mean toss it? She goes, I gave it to Goodwill. Oh my God.
Somebody got a good deal. Yeah, that's what happens.
It's like, no, what's worth it? It's like, honey, I bet you that stuff worth $1,500.
Yeah, I mean, about maybe 10 years ago, I found a little silver cup. And it was like a little porringer. It was like a little, you know, like it looked like a little creamer.
Yeah, we had one.
And I bought it for $10. There was no silver hallmarks on it. And I started researching, and I thought it was Dutch 18th century. It turned out it was Russian 17th century.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And I got almost $10,000 for that
piece. You're kidding me.
That's awesome.
But the scrap weight in silver, if somebody had taken it to a pawn shop and scrapped it, probably maybe would have gotten 10, 20 bucks for it, scrap weight. It's because of what it is.
Yeah.
And see, that's where, you know, my expertise comes in. And it's just, you know, it's an insurance policy. If you have a lot of stuff, it's a great, you know, to have somebody come in for a few hours and do this, it's worth it. You know, it's really worth it.
What's your hours?
We're open 7 days a week from 10 o'clock in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. So we're there all the time. It's you know, it's like 7 days. It's a lot, but we love what we're doing.
Now,
so,
how often do you see scam stuff? Where so like when I'm in Texas, we go. We have this one desk we bought. They say, it's a 200-year-old Venezuelan, you know, desk. And I looked at it, it's like, this is not 200. This is made to look old. And this was made this year. But we like the desk. We need a desk.
Yeah.
It's like, look, it's worth the value what you're asking for me to get the desk. But
this is how the market.
It kind of burned me that they were like trying to advertise this 200-year-old. Like, no, it's not.
I mean, we tell people what it is. The thing what's going on right now is that a lot of the younger people, they don't really care about the age of an item. They just want, if they want it, they want it. That's the big change. But we're trying to. A lot of these shops, say they're antique shops anymore, they're not. There's a piece of painted furniture, and they've got shells and, you know, and pillows and everything, but it's not an antique shop.
Yeah.
We're a real antique shop. So you might find something that you won't see anywhere else.
People bring stuff in. Are you
they bring
that
things
a lot?
All the time.
Okay.
You know, and it's, you know, I'm not an expert in everything. I'm a general dealer. So you have to know a little bit about everything that was ever made. And, you know, it can be tough.
And you got to know how to research and find
that's it. That's right. And if I don't know, I'll tell the person, I don't know. You know, you have to bring this to an expert. And then you get into that where people bring stuff to Sotheby's and Christie's. That's when you get into, like, the top echelon, you know.
Right.
But I could say, you know, hey, this piece I think is really valuable, you know. And so we do well like that. We're honest with people.
Yeah, so you buy the items from the person?
We do. We don't do consignment because we have – our place is good size, but it's not that big. Right. But we find better we just buy outright.
Any estate sales? Do you do anything like that?
We do estate sales, yeah. I've done quite a few of them. The last one we did was, maybe last year. But we want to do more of those. And those are fun. They could be a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun because you never know. It's like a treasure hunt. You never know what's in the house.
Oh, it's like the stuff you bring in.
That's right.
It's a mystery.
You know, and sometimes I'm like, what is this? I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm pretty good. And Tammy here, she's been in the shop, so she knows. She liked it. She loved the cameos.
I love your whole shop.
Thanks.
There's just so many interesting things and just so many different things to choose from. Like, you have pictures, furniture, I mean, knickknacks. You have a marble head of Andrew Jackson, correct?
No, Thomas Jefferson. You're close.
I'm sorry.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah, it's close. Close. You're
but,
good.
I learn things every time I come there because you and CJ are so informative. Yeah. You guys always know history on different items. Like, it's just so interesting. I
and my partner, he can talk. He can talk your socks off. He knows about
he
so,
knows
much.
So much.
I want to get him to come here. But he won't do it. I think he's a little shy of the microphone.
He does. He knows so much.
Okay, let's go around. Gary, start with Gary, Matt, and everybody. We got 1 minute. Say something for 20 seconds.
Gary, they're now friends of scouting. They're supporting me. I love it.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just glad to be here. And again, Red Rooster Antiques at 30113 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater, Florida.
Chuck Crossman, Dunedin Golf Club. The only thing we overlook is the golf course.
Love it. I'm Matt Funk with Five Star Pizza, and we're down on Myrtle and Jeffords. We do delivery, no dine-in. You can reach us at fivestarpizza.com.
That's good. And the phone number, I know it. It's 727-250-THE-POLICE. 05, reverse the 50, 0505. And then you can think of an Hawaiian 50. But I'll say this, power in this is when you stop trying to get what you want and you start helping.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.